Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
You alone are worthy to receive all glory and all honor and all power. We are here, your sons and your daughters, asking that, Lord, you will pour yourself into us. Lord, you grant us mercy and grace to embrace the path that you have given to us, that you will help us to be like that farm, that plantation that brought forth 30, 60, 100. Lord, you will help us. You will grant us mercy that nothing will be lost, that nothing will be missing. But at the end of it all, we want to see that smile on your face. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Please sit. Hey, Holy Spirit, Father, I thank you this morning for the opportunity to bring your word. I ask that you cause your word to come forth like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. Lord, you will empower me to speak your word with precision and with accuracy. In the name of Jesus, receive grace for every heart here. Receive strength for everyone here. I hide behind the cross and I ask that, Lord, this stained cross will wash me, cover me with the redness, the power of your cross. That nothing of man will be seen this morning, but only that which gives glory to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. John chapter 14, still speaking on leadership for what? Growing systems. And in the course of the week, the Lord began to show me a very strong factor that many times we have glossed over. And this morning, much popular, but yet so ignored. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I honor you. I honor you. We declare that we love you this morning. We recognize you as a person. We see you this morning as God. I honor you. Right now, are you right now? I honor you right now. Just be. I love you.
You are God. Just because you are God.
Holy Spirit, this morning as a church, as individual people in this place, we honor you and we repent for ignoring you. We repent for not giving you attention. We have used your gifts. We have used your power. But we've turned our backs on you. And this morning, Holy Spirit, we ask you to come back. We ask you to come back and be God again. You are the power of the heavens. You are the spirit of the prophet. We ask you to come back. Fill these vessels again. Let us feel the way Jesus felt. Let us be like Jesus. Help us, Holy Spirit. Help us, Holy Spirit. Fill us again. Fill us again. Fill us again. Do what only you can do. You are the power of God in the heavens. You are the authority of God in the earth. Holy Spirit, this morning we ask you, do that which is peculiar to you. Bring glory to Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 14, I'm going to read from Message Translation, verse 16, verse 17 and verse 18. Said, I will talk to the Father and he will provide you another friend, so that you will always have someone with you. Verse 17. This friend is the Spirit of Truth. This godless world can't take him in, because he doesn't have eyes to see him. He doesn't know what to look out for. But you know him already, because he has been staying with you and will even be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, because I am coming back. The Holy Spirit, he is God. It's not someone you can order around. He's the chief executive officer of the church as we speak. At some point in this story of redemption, God the Father superintended. Between the parts of Genesis up until Jesus came and died, the one who gave the instructions was the Father. You will see many times in scripture that in the Old Testament, God showed very little emotions, because God's primary emotion is faith. God is not, as it were, a crying God. He weeps when we weep, but he is not bound as a slave to his emotions. And you've got to see that part of him, so that when you interface with him, or you try to interface with him, you know exactly who you are dealing with. So you can take an entire study on the fatherhood of God, and we can begin to look into who he is. And you will see God speaking in Genesis chapter 1, when scripture talked about the recreation of the earth. Bible says, in the beginning, God. In other words, the beginning was not when God made the earth. The beginning was the revelation and unveiling of God. The one that is in the timeless eternity, if there was anything as could be described as the beginning, the best way to capture that timing would be God. And scripture says that the word God used there is the word Elohim. Elohim symbolizes or speaks of the plurality of God. It shows that God is more than one person, the plurality of God. When you use the word Elohim, you are talking about a God that is just more than one, yet one. So when people say they don't understand that, how can God be three, how can God, then you don't understand. If you think of God as just something that can stand there, or somebody that God is not a man. If you try to put a mental understanding to who he is, you are going to get as far as your mind can allows you to get stuck. There is a reason why he can sit on that throne and not get tired. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't go on vacations. He doesn't get tired. My Muslim brothers say that God has never had a wife. He has never given birth. He was not given birth to. But in the Quran, it is clearly written that God can see without eyes, that God can hear without having ears. If God can see without eyes and can hear you without ears, then he can have a son without a woman. We have never known who God is, and many times we are just so much as satisfied as with the little our minds can understand. And when we begin to get stuck, we just try to cover it with a blanket of supremacy. You are God. And that sort of brings a closure to it. But God wants us to know him. Says, as the heavens are high, say, so are my ways higher than your ways. When God is doing something, he's not looking at the now, he's looking at the implication of that decision, which will span into years. And that's what he was talking about. In the final analysis, you're going to look back and wow, and realize that God was actually right. 5-10 years from now, it's not going to probably make some sense. How you tried to get into school, how you were kicked out, you didn't get to get, you know, into school, or didn't get married on time, all of that thing that we have marked as God's unfaithfulness. You will now realize that when Jesus rode on that horse in the book of Revelation, the Bible said his name was what? Faithful and true. There's a reason why his name is faithful. It's not a character, it's his name. Say on his vesture was dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. There is just something about the Jesus I see in scripture that is quite different from what we market to people today. When Jesus asked the disciples to go out and talk about him, he wanted them to talk about his dealings upon their heart, what they have encountered of him, what they have learned of him. And right now we have tons and tons of people in church who don't even know who he is. At a point in the story of our redemption, the day Jesus rose from the dead, that was the day the New Testament came into force. And God the Father sat down and allowed his son hand over the baton to the Spirit of God. But before that period, he had told us about him. And the first thing he told us about him is that he is a teacher. It's not that thing that makes you fall under the anointing. That is just passing by. It's just passing by. When the Holy Spirit loves you, one of the things you will notice is he will be talking to you. You should not weep when you pray and you don't get answers. You should not weep when you have dreams and you don't understand them. You should weep when you call out to him and say, Holy Spirit, and you can't hear him tell you, I'm here. When you don't hear his voice, when he cannot interrupt your processes, when you're on the road and he can't just barge in and begin to talk to you, when he can't talk to you through everything and everything, when you're just a Christian by hope, the Holy Spirit, many of us have never met him. I want us to read Ephesians chapter 4, I believe, and verse 30. You know, we all complain of, give me a message translation on that. We complain that we don't have time to pray. We complain we don't have time to do stuff. But really, the time you have is what you make out of it. It's just, those who make excuses, they make nothing. That thing that when you are not the one on stage, you can't worship. You look like you are going to fall down and just pass out. But all of a sudden, the microphone is in your hands. And then you just begin to do your thing. I'll be like, wow, wow, wow. This is such a powerful minister. There's only one person we want to see. The Holy Ghost. Jesus said, and if you are ever interested in drawing the Holy Ghost very close to you, there is a very powerful key. Jesus said, if I be lifted up,
amen.
If I be lifted up. You see, there's among all the characters of Godhood, there is one character the Holy Spirit does not share. What is that? Glory. The Holy Spirit does not take glory. Go and read scriptures. It's in the book of John, that chapter. He said, he will glorify me. That's what Jesus said. So you can say, I worship you. You can say, I honor you. But you can't say, I give you glory. Because Jesus said, everything that he's showing you, he's taking it from me. Jesus knows your level of operation. He knows what you need to do. So he's saying for Timilei, you need to begin to bring him or her into the thorough understanding of the new creation. So the Holy Spirit takes that command and begins to walk with it. The Holy Spirit has never walked in isolation. Just like when Jesus was walking, he will say, everything I say, I have received of my Father. So whoever hands over to you, take instructions from him. The Holy Spirit can be very noisy. And yet, not everybody will hear his sound. The disciples were on that upper room, but not everybody heard the mighty rushing wind. It takes the Holy Spirit to quicken your ears to hear him when he's walking by. These are things you converse with him on. You can't. It is not enough to say, "Oh Lord, I can pray." But the very few minutes you have, by your computer and maybe when you're in the restroom, do you even take out time, Holy Spirit? Do you know I just love you? The Holy Spirit, on the other hand, is quite emotional. He doesn't get too many "I love you" these days. You gave everything to your wife. You gave everything to your girlfriend. So most times you're just like, you are God, everyone. You say, just tell me you love me, brother. Just can we just play the emotional game for 5 minutes? I know you, when you ask ladies to sing in church, you hear those things like, want to say how much I love you, because most times we sing after our order. The part that we connect with the most. Then when you ask guys to sing, you hear songs like, we've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power. Because men are dominion oriented. We always identify with the part of us that. The Holy Spirit is a person that can be related with, that can be spoken to, and that can talk to you. Most times we have ignored him. Yet he is the power of God upon the earth. The Holy Spirit will not deliver his weight and his might to someone he cannot trust. He will not, no matter how much you cry, no matter how much you beg. Much of what we have enjoyed is just the magnanimity of God. If God follows the rules, we won't get half of what we are getting. Look at this scripture. Don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. This is just scripture. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. You want to know what turns a Jesus into Christ? The Holy Ghost. What makes Jesus Christ? It's the Holy Ghost. We need to begin to do some reappraisal of our relationship with the Holy Spirit today, because the Holy Spirit is a leader. All the angelic beings, they report to him. When you see him, I was reading Roland Barthes' book, the guy who had the experience of angels on assignment, very old book. And Roland Barthes was in his parlor talking to these two angels. I think maybe Gabriel and one other angel. Then so I saw the Gabriel just got up and stared into the space, and he said, "Oh, the Holy Spirit has sent for me. I need to go now." And he vanished into thin air. Wow. So Roland Barthes was now asking the angel, "Is this how people live? You are talking to someone, and then he just says, 'The Holy Spirit needs me now, and I have to go.'" Sometimes it's just safe to see him as a wind or a force and all of that. It feels very convenient. But to think that a Gabriel, who is an archangel, and an archangel is an angel of angels. That means that is, let's say, a battalion angels put together. That's one person. That's one archangel. So what you expect an archangel to be able to do is multiplied by probably 1,000 angels in strength. And then the Holy Spirit just... and he just gets up. "Oh, the Holy Spirit needs me now. I'll be back." Pew! And vanishes. Then it's like, he said, you know, the Holy Spirit is the one that is controlling us. The other angel was now explaining to Roland. Say, he picks all the signals from all the continents of the earth. He sees those that need help. And he said, "Oh, angels, move to that." He said, "If we were waiting for all of you to pray, you will all be dead." That's what the guy said to the man of God. He said, "We don't wait." He said, "We are always busy." That's the language the angel say. We are always busy. The Holy Spirit tells us what to do. He can recall you and say, "Go to the other side. We have shortage of manpower there." Say the Holy Spirit. Say yes. So say, "Where is Jesus?" Say, "He's seated at it." He's seated. He's done his part. He's seated now. Wow. The Holy Spirit can be trusted. It can be trusted. If you commit your life to him, it can be trusted. And I want you to come to that place in your journey where the strength of your walk with God is on the strength of your relationship with him. Everything can be a tool to draw close to God. God will not give you a space in his house to stand as a leader if you have not earned your place on the strength of your relationship with him. Yes, we can talk about leadership skills. Yes, we can talk about building systems. Yes, but what are you going to build if he is not there? The Holy Spirit is the cement in the church. Is the block. Is the life force in the church. If he's not there, what are you building? Babel. You don't see the quality of what we've been doing in church for so long, about 20, 30 years ago, until you begin to see the output. What we see on the streets right now. What we see on Facebook. The people who open their mouth and say, "Let's face reality. We are not talking religion here." And you begin to wonder where the fear of God is. You have never seen the Holy Spirit moving before. That is why you think. And yes, thank God for business principles. But the Holy Spirit is higher and far above business principles. It does things that make the mind quake. I give you a good example. I think this should be Numbers chapter 11. Let's go to Numbers chapter 11. I believe that should be verse 30. I want to show you something. I want to show you this because I don't want you to ever doubt that you can depend on him. Now, before now, You can give me King James on this. Now, before now, at this point, the people were hungry and they had nothing to eat and they were tired. And how many of you know that many times when you are tired and hungry, there's a serious question mark on your faith? When there's something that threatens your supply. When there's something that threatens your supply. This scripture, this story has been on my mind for over 2 weeks and I've just been digesting it. Let me tell you. Do you know that there are many people who are lost in Lagos? That God wants to provide shepherdhood, provides family for, but he can't do it because he doesn't have those kind of people that he can put them under who won't take advantage of them. Some of these people, you will be their pastors in the office. Some of these people, you will be their pastor on the street. People where he can hide. God doesn't have too many places he can hide these people. So people are, is compared to use the old systems that have trapped them. So here you are thinking that you are not serving God because you are not a pastor. But God has put 2, 3, 4 people under you and say, take care of these people. I will need them back in 15 years. But you can't see the picture because for you, you can't, you are myopic. You are just seeing what's around you. You are not seeing the long distance. You are not seeing the big picture when God is going to have, would have raised these people and they would have become very matured. And then they will be able to deliver the kingdom to God. For you, every time that God puts stuff in your hands and it's not working the way it's working, it's no more God. And we have to deal with that because that's a wrong spirit. We have to deal with that thing that always makes us feel, oh, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe it wasn't, I wasn't really sure what God said. God, look. The Bible says everything works together for our good. It didn't work, stay true. I need to check out of this thing. Who asked you to check in? Check with the person before you check out. So these people here had a food problem. There's something about when there's no food in your house, you can start falling sick. There's something about when there's no food in your house, you just, your system starts reacting, your anger level rises, you become very touchy because you, people look at you, they like you, they love you, but if they know where you really are in your life right now, many of them will be shocked because you are not showing it on your face. Many of us don't know how to manage our crisis. We are emotionally unstable and dangerous. With due respect, my little research, most of the highly emotionally unstable people I know in the church are people who attend churches where they say fall down and die. Research. Most of people who have no emotions for sparing people's life. If you will die, let him die. It's just a research. You go check it out. Most of people that are without mercy are people who attend some of these type of assemblies. I've told myself the kind of Christian I don't want to be. No offense, because this is Africa. But this is just a research and it's something you should think about. There's something about when circumstances are not really working out for your good. You can begin to speak and utter things without the fear of God. Many times things will happen to us and God will not even give us any premonition. They will just happen and you are like, because we believe it is God's responsibility to tell us. Yes, it's his responsibility, but it is also his preserve. He can choose not to say anything. Because 10 years from now, God will require to stand in a place to tell people to be strong. Not because you have a word, but because you have been where they are 10 years ago. But if you don't know what that feels like, how can you be the person to stand in that spot? You have no grace for it. You have no anointing for it. You have no scars to show. You don't know what it means to lose people. You don't know what it means to get to work on Monday and then they tell you, sorry, we forgot to tell you, you shouldn't be here, you fired. And they're like, Holy Spirit, why? Why? You could have just told me. Then God will allow you to see the bitterness that can arise in your soul. and how you will begin to resist him. God will let you see that you say you love me, you trust me. Now let's try this out. Then you begin to feel resentment. You wake up this morning and say, look, for once let me even sleep, I'm not praying. Except you have come into that place where you allow the Holy Spirit teach you these things, you may have very little resistance in the day. Look at this situation. In verse 31. These people had complained about food. So Moses had talked to the Lord, and then there went forth a wind, and the word wind there is spirit, from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea. He said, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey. In other words, if they start to pack, they will need an entire day to say, you want to eat meat, I give you a day to be packing what you eat. Now these people said God was unfaithful, so God provided meat. I said, the meat I will give you, you will not have a basket to carry it. You will have to trek an entire day, 24 hours, to pack all the things I'm going to give to you, so that you will learn wisdom in your approach to me. Look at what the Lord said. As it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, as it were 2 cubits high. See, 2 cubits high. Now, this is not just length, but height. So the meat will be, they'll be resting on each other. Oh yeah, eat. Eat. I'm okay, and nah, you will eat too. Verse 32. And the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day. God told them it was a day, but see how many days they spent. For those of you who think God doesn't know what he's doing. And they gathered the quails. He that gathered least, gathered what? 10 omers. I wonder what that means. Maybe that's like 10 cartons or something. And they spread them all abroad for themselves around the camp. So, this is a very powerful leadership principle of growth that I want you to see. Before the wind, what did they have? Nothing. The wind is the Spirit of God. You can only go as far as your own strength will carry you. But when the Lord releases His Spirit, He undermined the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit moved upon the camp, it moved over the waters, and all the quails were jumping out. Your result is not in man. What you are looking for is not in man. What you need to do is to pitch your tent with the Spirit of God. Yes. And let him begin to move. Give him liberty to be God. Give him liberty to be the CEO. Give him liberty on that business. Give him liberty on your mind. Give him liberty on your relationships. Give him liberty on this journey you just started. Give him liberty on this whole thing you're planning. Let him have freedom like Genesis 1:1 to hover. Don't tell him, Holy Spirit, left. Holy Spirit, right. Holy Spirit, I've done this. Let me stamp it. In fact, I brought stamp. Take stamp pad. Bam. The Spirit of God moved, and he gave them tons and tons of what? Do you know the funny thing? These people ate till the thing began to come out of. Have you read that story in the scripture? And God began, the Spirit of, they began to slay them. They began to die from the blessing. Do not use your faith to covet miracles. Use your faith to develop your relationship with God. The Holy Spirit is a person that can be related with. It's a person that can talk to you and you will respond. God wants us to place a huge emphasis on our relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's why many times, because many of us are living in fear, and you don't know this, many of us live in fear, and that's why we find it very difficult to be close to the Holy Spirit. And that's why even when God is talking to you, say, something told me. Have you heard that thing before? Something told me. Because we already read in scripture where Jesus said any sin against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, and you don't want problem. So you just... It's better to say Jesus said to, I was talking this, the Father told me. Because you know those ones can forgive. Say this one. Say once you just lie, say, did I tell you? Say, actually I thought, you are finished. Do you know, even for myself, I've had this problem. That's how I know people have it, because I have the problem. Let me just be saying Jesus. That one, I know if we beg, he will listen. This Holy Spirit, we know they forgive person. How many of you have this kind of challenge? Like, you find it very uncomfortable saying it was the Holy Spirit that, it's a serious problem. You prefer to say, I just believe God laid it upon my heart. I just am sensing. I think. These are real issues. See, for a very spiritual church like this. Now imagine those churches where there's no spirit. Something told me. Something. These are real issues in the body of Christ. Let me tell you something. One of the marks of your developing relationship with God is that you'll be bold. You'll be bold. 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 Bold, bold, bold. You are not afraid to call him Father. You can come in and say, Holy Spirit, we are here, move. And you are not even afraid that he's going to talk about the sin you committed yesterday. There's a confidence of being close to him gives you. Before you pray, you know the person is going to be healed. Even Moses didn't know what to do about this foot problem. But when he stepped aside for the Holy Ghost, he said, just watch what I'm going to do. He moved over the waters. Pa, 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 pa. Drew all the quails out of the water. Dumped them. Oh, yeah, be eating. If you let appetite determine the depth of your relationship with God, appetite for material things, for food, for water, for salary, for wages, and my brother, you will get them. You are economically useless to God. There's very little God can do with you, because every time God wanted to use somebody for major things, the first thing he started isolating them for was the love of food. He took Daniel into Babylon and made him choose vegetable. I can imagine you are sitting with princes. All of them, first course, second, dessert, all of that. And you just have green vegetables. That they just rinsed in water. So, yeah, could you pass? And then someone calls, could you pass me the salt, please? And then Daniel will still pass the salt to them. And still be eating his vegetable. When Jesus was going to start his ministry, the first temptation was in the place of what? Every time God wants to do something major with people, he will isolate their system from that which sustains man. You will learn how to thrive on very little. You will have money in your account. God will tell you, that money, I'm keeping it with you. Don't spend it. He says, it's my money. So I know, but don't spend it. He begins to tell you what to do with your money. That's the problem. People don't want somebody telling them what to do with their money. Because you know the Holy Spirit. He can just come and say, give her 20,000. Just like that. Biko, I beg. It doesn't have to be that bad. If you at least, let's start from the basics. Food. You wake up this morning and say, oh, I'm going to fast 3 days. Tell me what wakes you up that morning. Hunger. 12 a.m. is like you are going to die. You are going to pass out. Egg roll. Somebody is moving fresh egg roll and meat pie.
It's always egg roll.
All of a sudden, you know, they say, oh, there's this lovely of Father Rice. And always we say, look, we are working on our relationship. You know, we've not been talking. I need you to stay away from the Holy Spirit. Can we start tomorrow? You know the anointing about all those food. The moment you eat them, you just like it wasn't worth it. Like, why do they have to? If you want to be close to God, time up. If you want to be close to God, you must not think as men think. You must be deliberate about it. When you wake up in the morning, say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Talk to Him. You can talk to Him. You need to learn how to communicate with Him. When you do it, the first time, do it, say, retrain your mind to say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Call His name, Holy Spirit. Talk to Him. Many times we talk about, oh, I'm not praying well. Spend your time talking to Him. Leave the prayer part. Don't talk to God like you are afraid of offending the Holy Spirit. So, Jesus, I came to you so that you can help me. I don't know. You know the other man. We don't really know his mood this morning. So we just... Holy Spirit, help me. What do I do? Talk to Him. Everybody I knew or learned or I studied that had a good relationship with the Spirit were very specific in their choice of words. If not, we are going to build a church of 5,000 people and it will just be Babel. People come into God's presence, no respect, no reverence for the presence of the Holy Spirit. People just do what they like. They cast off restraint. And today, my attempt is to present you or represent to you the person to which we all report to, the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you to go back to Him this morning and reestablish your altar with Him. Stop avoiding Him. He's also the God of love. It's not how to punish you. It's not that mental picture that is making you avoid Him is what the devil sold to you. If you are bothered about offending Him to the point that He will not forgive you, don't worry, He too doesn't want you to offend Him. You are both on the same page. Jesus said, when I leave, He said, if I do not leave, He cannot come. He said, I'm going to give you another friend. That means you can talk to Him and He can talk to you. He can help you through your dark seasons. He can help you through your bright seasons. Don't just see the power part where the man of God can stand out and say, Holy Spirit, man, darabala. You just see the power of God moving. Yes. That's nice, but there's this part of Him where it's just you and Him, just doing your thing. And He loves real people. Real people. People we can communicate with. People that when you see, you are not thinking of her because, hey, I need to ask for forgiveness because I'll be the one leading worship tomorrow. No. David said, it is you that, before you that I see, no God. Say, wash me with hyssop. Wash me with clean water. Every time you offend God or you sin against Him, it's a personal issue between you and Him. It's not like, hey, and I'm the one that's supposed to lead prayer tomorrow. Ah, God, why is my life like this? The devil, Satan, you caught me. Because you didn't plan to go to His house. All of a sudden, you just go, I'm lonely. Come now, let's talk. Then you carried your bag, went to see your fiancé, and then something was happening. Even though nothing eventually happened, but somehow your conscience was already damaged, and then you didn't even know. You now go to church on Sunday. Yeah, you just come. You go to me, say, the Lord just told you you're the one leading prayers. I'm so sure it wasn't God. Because if God knew where I was yesterday, He can't be telling you that it is me. Then I now came on the altar. Let's just ask for His mercy. Let's ask for His mercy. So your mind, like, people are like, oh, they don't know you are praying for Him. Like, God, don't just keep me on this altar because I'm so unworthy. I'm so worthy. Say the brethren, let's just ask the blood of Jesus to why is she so sober this morning? Some people are even on the better side. When you go comes to them and say you're leading prayers this morning, say, no, I'm not in the mood. I get someone. Then you go to his wife, why are you so defensive? What's wrong with you? Say, I'm not doing. Like, ego can't even start, like, there's no time, service is going to start. Sorry, bro, come and help us. Okay, amen. I mean, but like, what was that all about? So I know I didn't prepare. Usually I like to prepare, before I... There are some of these spiritual statements we make. Even God in heaven is like, Mawele, look at this one. You mean you want to bobo? Me that I know you. I saw you when you were touching, rubbing yourself. I didn't kill you. It's now today that you want to be forming. I saw you yesterday. I didn't kill you. I see you even slept and woke up. No, I didn't see. I've not said anything since yesterday. But because he got now said, leave prayer. He just started reacting. Some of you laughing, know a bit of what I'm talking about. Been there, amen. And it's okay. I forgive you, amen. Amen. Is the Lord moving in that direction? Amen. I say all of this because many of us are trying too hard to be close to God. You don't have to. Honestly speaking, you don't have to. It has nothing to do with being a pastor. It has everything to you realizing that when he gave his Holy Spirit, it was because the Holy Spirit was supposed to be your friend. If you want to be the kind of leader that God can trust, you must be God's friend. See, I no longer call you servants. I now call you friends. He said, because the servant doesn't know what his master is doing. Say, but as my friends, I will share them with you because I am not threatened by you. Yeah, I am not threatened by your position. I am not threatened by whatever I have in your account. I can share with you because I know we are the same. I want you to trust the Lord that as you step into this week, when the Holy Spirit begins to come close to you, he brings some of these holy emotions into you. You can become unnecessarily compassionate. Sometimes you want to be compassionate, say no, don't give her anything. Like, why Holy Spirit? He said, I'll tell you later, don't give her anything. So what she needs is not money. What she needs is accountability. Holy Spirit, I don't know this girl from here. I'm telling you. No, me, just trust me when I tell you, this one is not money she needs. Just begins to tell you stuff. You are looking at people, it's like you can see into their soul. You only need to be in the corporate world to realize that we do stuff in the office, yet we mean the exact opposite. How people can be standing in front of you and saying, yes sir, we will get back to you, sir, in their mind. Listen. I see it all the time. And these are my people in my community. They are Christians. They expect you to play along. The world mostly doesn't believe there is anything called Christianity again. Go and get that Chinese video, that video of that man, it's about 6-7 minutes. I've been watching that video all week. And every time it just keeps touching something on my inside. Keep making your excuses. But everyone who walked with God walked in spite of the challenges they had. So what's your excuse? I didn't go to school. I didn't graduate. I don't have a job. What's your reason for not being close to God? You allow the situations that are overwhelming you to give you a reason not to talk to the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes when we use the word prayer, we are using very strong terms. Let's use the word talk. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I just read Numbers chapter 11. Can you please teach me what this is saying? And then you begin to meditate, and it begins to guide your thoughts and guide your emotions. You see someone, you've not, the person has not said anything to you, you just feel all this love coming to that person. God is telling you something, help this person. Meanwhile, because you've, you know, in the place of your developing that relationship, you surrender your emotions to him, you surrender your will to him, you surrender your everything that could have made you unique, you give it to him. So he begins to control those emotions. When he needs you to do stuff, he just flushes that particular emotion into you, and all of a sudden you are more like her, you know, you're on point. Like, how did you know? I said, I just felt like giving you 5,000. How did you know? He said, I don't know, I just felt like that was really what I need right now. Thank God, glory be to God. Say, don't thank me, because now you are faceless but forceful. You understand? You are beginning to operate from you don't allow your emotions exist on its own. You brought it under the surveillance and authority of the word of God. So every time God begins to move in there, you are checker. Like God is saying something. So if I say, I don't know what God is saying, I've been praying, I don't know, I'm trusting God for a dream. Brother, see. If you have to wait to sleep to dream, if you have to wait to sleep to know what God is saying, my brother, that's still 24 hours away. You are late. I say, bring those emotions, bring that feeling. So bring your soul, let it kneel, let it lie prostrate before the Holy Ghost. Tell him, Lord, from now on, these emotions will become your tools for engagement. Every time you need to pass an information at the speed of thought, bah, let the emotions flow. I bring it as a slave to you. Have you been in meetings where a man of God is ministering and he said there's someone here with a back pain? Many times when pastors preach, they will feel the pain in their body. It's because they have brought that faculty under the leadership of the Spirit. When I started pastoring this church, when we just started, sometimes during the week I'll be feeling all kind of emotions just flushing through my mind, and I'll be very confused. What is this? Until the day the Lord told me, say, those are not your emotions, those are the emotions of your church members. I said, I've never seen this one inside Bible. He said, get ready. He said, that one is for so person, call her now. This other one is for this one, pray for him. I say, the emotion, because I didn't understand that operation, I was beginning to feel like I was the one having those emotions, and it was confusing me and making me feel terrible. I say, it's not your own, it's for call so person, call this other person, pray for this person. That was my first time experiencing those things. So I don't know, I'm still looking for scriptures for it. If God wants to use you so much, but he cannot be the bridge in your soul, if the Holy Spirit cannot be the bridge in your soul, if the Holy Spirit cannot be the bridge in your soul, there's going to be very little he can do through you. Because he will need you to show the right emotions per time. When he needs you to be tough and take a stand, you might be looking at a situation and you feel like, somebody came to me, Ego and David, had to take over the case from me. I've been giving this young man some money regularly, and then Ego, you know, just tried to take over the case. So Ego said to the young man and David, we'd like to give you a business. Do you know how to market? Do you know how to sell? They tried to talk the guy into a business. The guy said, no, it's pastor he wants to see. Because pastor doesn't talk about business. Pastor only gives me money. Don't say pastor is busy, you can't see. Say, I will wait. He goes to your guy. You can't see him. So by the time I didn't know all of that was going on, then Ego came in with David. I'm like, pastor, no, we need to readdress some things. I say, readdress what? He said, that guy. He said, I've sent him away, don't worry. I said, no, we must show the love of Christ. We must show the love of Christ. I say, pastor, that one, this one is not love of Christ that is his problem. He said, I told him I will set you up in my type of business. The guy said no. The people giving you money, what do you think they do? The people paying tight, what do you think they do? When pastor says somebody can give us 1 million, and you people raise their hands, they got it, they just went to take clay, and then
Most people who give, is there anybody that has ever given out of convenience? Talk to me now. You are waiting for the pastors to say it's time to write our checks, amen, hallelujah, and then you are just writing 500 million each. Okay, you know, I want to surpass your destiny. I did 250 last week. I'm doing 500. Oh yeah, there can be a make you start. Is there anybody that ever gave out of convenience? So what's your thing with working? You got to find a job. It's not just giving you money. Yeah, you give me money, but you be a slave. How long are we going to continue doing this thing? Set up systems. So I said to the brother, brother eventually bypassed ego. And then I was talking to him. So I said, you know what? I heard ego spoke to you and David. Yes. I said, so what are you going to do about what they said to you? I said, okay. I said, you know what? This is the way I'm looking at the matter. I can give you money right now. I said, but I'm not thinking I'm helping you. I'm thinking that you need to go back to ego and then take his advice. And ego said what he gave to you, you can make a profit of 15,000 instantly. What do you think about that? I said, you know what? Go and think about it. Tomorrow, I want to see you so that I can talk to ego on your behalf and beg him to give you those products. And David said, okay. This is like a month now. As at that moment, my emotion, the me would have been like, give him some money again. The guy is going to collapse if he doesn't eat now. But Ego and David were able to put the guy to a test. And they realized that, it's not really a money problem. Somebody doesn't want to work. So many times, God will put those emotions that will tell you, don't give him anything. Sit him down and share John chapter 3 verse 16 with him. If he can't stand it, don't go to the next phase. You are trying to help somebody who was prostituting, and then you are trying to, you know, most times we think that if by giving them money or bringing them to your house, you are saving them from their life. No. Before the issue of money comes in, a lot would have happened. In terms of rehabilitation, reconfiguring that mindset and that brain to think differently. Because it's quick money. You don't understand? Quick money, depending on where you are, VI, Obalende, or Ikeja, that's the amount you pay. You don't need a certificate. You don't understand? You don't need a certificate for this kind of business. If you are in a relationship with this brother, if you go to his house, he will still sleep with you and he won't pay you. But this is quick money. You don't need to love the person. Just get your 10K and walk out. You can do that like 5 times a day. 50K. I have a client like that. She makes like 250,000 every week. Wow. That's what she does. Yeah. Wow. So I was asking her. She said, see, let me tell you. The real sinners don't come to church. Take it from me. Yeah. So I was asking her when she came to my office. I was like, where she was, they do all this strip pole dancing and all of that. So I was asking her, because she's not Nigerian. I was asking her, I said, do you intend to do this work for a long time? She said, no. Very soon I'll just get one of those white guys, because she's French, from Europe, who speaks French, marry him, travel with him to the country, get their passport and citizenship. Then if the guy is okay, fine. If it's not, they split up. She's already a citizen there. I said, so you have a plan? She said, yeah. I said, so right now, where are you and what are you doing? She said, what I do right now is, I don't just sleep with people. I talk to them for like 30 minutes. I find out what their greatest fantasy is and I become it. I said, wow. That's an apostle. That's someone who is strategic. That is strategic. It's not just shooting blanks. He said, I look at you. I talk to you. I know what your eight deepest desires are. He said, and I become. Come eat. So I'm not trying to be that nice girl, your wife at home. Some of you are married, your wife's afraid to try out some things, and because she doesn't know, you say, where did you learn that from? Hey, I become your fantasy. So I said, she said, eventually they tell me they're going to give me 30K. They give me 50K. Say, because I just took them to a whole new level. So wow. So you see, somebody's not taking his job seriously. I just imported that strategy into evangelism. Don't just carry a Bible and dump it into people's face. Engage them. Talk to them. Connect to them. Once you connect to them, they'll tell you their fears. They'll tell you the thing that bothers them the most. They tell you, oh, you know, my mom is really been sick. Oh, can you've not started preaching. Say, can we go pray for your mom? There's something about love that opens up people's minds and hearts to you. It's easier to connect to them at that level. You know, the scripture says, you know, in John chapter 3, verse 16. I just need to tell you that God's word is true forever. Amen. Who's the soul that has seen it, he shall die. You may die today. You may die tonight. You may die tomorrow. Are you ready to meet with your Creator? The guy just looking at you and wondering what a disaster you are. Because you have a sick child at home. You have a sick mother at home. You are confused. You just need someone to just a shoulder to lean on. And can you imagine who this guy? Can you just imagine? Who do you even think you are? Come here and tell me that the soul that snatched her. Who will not die? One dead man weeping for another. Somebody dies. We go to the family. You are just another dead man waiting. You have to learn, if you want your evangelism strategy to be powerful, you have to learn how to connect with people. Yeah. Don't go there and be, if you see the guy sitting on under the bus stop, you know, somewhere there just looking, reading newspaper, just go there and start speaking Queen's English. Connect to them, speak Pidgin. Hey, Baba, how far? Show up. You know, just connect to them in a very powerful way. In a way that, how far? Waiting to have over, it's on Madrid, though. Yeah, I don't know. Say they go win. No, God, sha. I don't know. People, you just connect to them in a way like they feel comfortable with you. Everybody wants God. People just don't know what to do about it. And the devil is doing a good job maligning our faith and presenting it as something that doesn't work again. So, but if they can see someone that the thing is still working for, then can say, you know what, you know, the country and all of that, you know, I think it's really just a good time to just reconsider and, you know, begin to think about being close to God again. You know, it's not, life doesn't end here. We need to be more deliberate. You know, you are just doing, you have never started with the issue of giving your life to Christ or hellfire or heaven. You are just talking to them about, you know, the need to be close to God. If you don't have anybody who can help you, but give yourself at least some respite, some peace, which can only come by being close to God. But brother, do you understand what I'm saying? Say, bless, I don't understand. He said, you know what? See, let me tell you. I used to be like this. But 3 years ago, somebody invited me to this church and all of that. My brother, I cannot deceive you. Something changed. I remember several years ago, I just got into Lagos, my former church at Jibo. We had gone to do evangelism. So I got in, I can't even remember this slum or where we went to inside Yaba. Or maybe Makuk, I can't even remember where that place is. I just saw this guy sitting under this story building with his friend and he was smoking. So I walked to him and I said, hey, how far? How you did? He said, I'm fine. I said, hey, can I talk to you? I said, you know what? Why are you doing this under the story building? And then he looked at me. What thing I go to do? And I said to him, somebody who is sitting on the floor smoking with his friend has gotten to a point in his life where he doesn't care anymore. I said, I like you. Can I speak to you? I like people like you. You are not hiding. At least we know the problem. Talk to me. I said, hey, brother, God loves you. He likes real people. And I would like to help you. The guy started crying. He started weeping. Before I knew it, the cigarette dropped off his hands. Oh, the guy followed me. It was then I realized the guy had HND. This guy sat on the floor smoking. He was going to smoke himself to death. It was after his conversion process that he started speaking in tongues. That one day he came to me and said, Pastor, you know, I'm just applying for this job. Eh? You go to school? He said, I have this ND. I said, oh my goodness. When the devil hijacks a man's destiny, he will bring him down. I saw that guy. I thought he was some ruffian. The guy was educated, but he had become so messed up. It didn't even matter. He was sitting on the floor with a ruffian smoking. Then he said, there's this lady I've been planning to get married to. I'd like you to come with her. I said, oh my goodness. There's just something about Jesus. He specializes in changing lives. In less than 6 months, speaking in tongues, trying to get a job, trying to get a house, trying to get married. I don't even know where that guy is anymore. Oh, yeah. You know, this is just, it's just amazing. You will never know until you go out there.
Yes.
Don't go there and tell them FIS. You go there and tell them Jesus still loves them. The issue of hell is a done deal. You understand? Hell is there. Let's leave that one first. Learn how to connect with people. If your relationship with God, with the Holy Spirit, is not helping you being true to yourself and receiving the help of the Holy Spirit, you cannot extend it to others. I remember that guy's story recently. It was a, well, I couldn't even remember his name anymore. But you know, he started coming to church. You never know. You just never know. You just never know. I've set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. I've set the Lord always before me. I don't care what the newspapers are saying this morning. I don't care what my situation is saying this morning. I don't care if death is at work in my body. If I'm all that tired and I can't even pull myself together. One thing I have done, I've set the Lord always before me. Wherever you move, I move. Wherever you sway to, I sway. I am your servant, held completely by the power of your will. For this reason was I born. To this intent was I brought into the earth. To declare the full counsel of the living God, to tell as many as will hear that there is hope for them, that Jesus still saves, Jesus still heals, Jesus still delivers, that if they come to him, they will find purpose for their lives. In spite of everything, we are still here. All of my life.
We know you've been blessed with these words, so you can as well visit us. Plot 223 beside Bode Emmanuel Center, Satellite Bus Stop, Ikodu Road, Ilukweju, Lagos. You can also log on to our website at www.theharvestword.org. Contact us for counseling 080-8317-8191. God bless you.